the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
humba, humba, see ya, humba, humba, see ya, humba,
kayan,
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 see ya, humba, see ya, humba,
kayan,
see ya, humba, humba, see ya, humba,
kayan,
see ya, humba, see ya,
humba,
see ya,
humba,
see ya,
humba,
see ya,
humba,
see ya,
humba,
kayan,
benko.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God.
Marching, we are marching,
we are marching,
we are marching
in the light of God.
Siya humba kukayen kwenko,
siya humba kukayen kwenko,
siya
humba kukayen kwenko,
siya humba kukayen kwenko.
Humba,
siya,
humba, kukayen, kwenko. Siya, humba,
humba,
siya,
humba,
humba, siya,
humba,
kukayen, kwenko.
Humba, siya, humba, humba, siya,
humba,
kukayen,
kwenko.
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 Humba, humba,
siya,
humba,
kukayen,
kwenko.
Humba,
humba,
siya,
humba,
kukayen,
kwenko.
Singing about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Did you hear about Paul?
Paul who?
Paul, you know, Paul and Barnabas.
Him? Oh, what?
He can't be trusted.
Can any man?
He's a high-minded, honorable, just man in the synagogue.
And outside the synagogue?
Oh, you know. Hunchback, nearsighted, short, bow-legged, homely.
I'm not interested in what he looks like. I can see that for myself.
Outside the synagogue, he's just like an ordinary man.
Is that good or bad?
Depends on one's point of view.
To me, all men are a good.
Well, both of these men are hypocrites.
Oh, that's bad.
We don't want that sort of men poisoning our town now, do we?
Don't we?
Spread the word around, will you? Or don't say anything definite about them. Just sort of suggest that they're not fit for children and youth to hear and be around.
Why?
Why what?
Why aren't they fit to be around?
I just got through telling you. Hypocrites.
Yes.
Liars.
Yes.
Blasphemers.
Yes.
Homely.
Oh, well, that is bad. I'll get on it right away.
By the time she gets through with them, they won't be fit to be beheaded.
Yeah, my wife knows how to do that sort of thing to perfection.
Oh, it was a work of a genius.
Well, I don't think they'll be back.
Not very soon, anyway.
Where did they go?
To Iconium, I think. Wonder what'll happen to them there.
Paul and Barnabas are here.
I saw them.
Now, shall we ask them to say a few words after we finish reading the scriptures?
Why not?
Now, you heard what happened in Antioch.
Oh, you can't believe all you hear. People exaggerate, especially in a thing like that. Anyway, I'd like to see this synagogue completely filled just once.
All right, I'll send them an invitation. Well, you saw the synagogue filled, not once, but three times. Are we going to let this continue?
No. I've already stirred up the Gentiles against them, but it doesn't seem to do any good. Paul and Barnabas go right ahead in the face of opposition, envy, and prejudice. I've thought and meditated and tried, but I cannot make up my mind if they speak truth or deliberate lies.
Lies, of course.
Of course, of course. That's proof of nothing. Paul and Barnabas have proof that they speak for God and give testimony into the word of his grace. And they do wonders and miracles. This evidence, and it is evidence, has a powerful influence. And converts to Christianity are being added by the hundreds.
Well, stop them.
Stop them, stop them. By holding up my hand and saying, scat, and they'll run like scared women?
Let's try something new. I think it'll work. What kind of people are joining them?
Mostly the, I'd say the lower classes of people. Why?
Are the rich and influential men being converted?
I'd say no.
Good. We will start false and exaggerated reports. That will lead the civil authorities to fear that the entire city is in danger of being incited to insurrection. Yes.
Your name is Paul?
Yes, Your Honor.
And yours?
Barnabas, Your Honor.
Serious charges have been brought against you. Guilty or not guilty?
Well, what are the charges, Your Honor?
You weren't told?
No, Your Honor.
Well, the report is that great numbers of our citizens are joining your organization.
Well, that is true, Your Honor.
Then you do admit your guilt.
Is it a crime to join a church?
Church? Who's behind your church? And what is its purpose?
Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah. Its purpose is to save souls.
Actually, its purpose is to incite the people to insurrection. Isn't that true?
Insurrection? But we advocate obedience.
Obedience to you? Or your chief? Whoever he is?
Obedience to the laws of God and the laws of the land. The laws we teach the people to obey can be summed up in these words. Love your neighbor as yourself, and do unto him as you would that he do to you.
There's nothing wrong with that. If everyone would obey those laws, there would be no need of courts of justice. We'd be out of business. I'll have to find you not guilty. There certainly is no danger of insurrection in that kind of organization. You two here again?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Greetings, Your Honor.
Same charge. Guilty?
Same answer. Not guilty. Again, Your Honor, not guilty.
You two come in here as regular as a son. Always the same charge. And I dare not condemn you. I have to admit that your teachings tend to make men virtuous, law-abiding citizens. That the morals and order of the city would improve if the truths you teach were followed.
Take matters into your own hands.
That's right.
That's right. I agree fully. Come, we will go now, find Paul and Barnabas, and stone them to death.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
So many cereal boxes before?
There are a bunch of them. Some with pictures of animals, some with bowls of fruit and milk, and some with cartoon characters. How are we supposed to pick one for our camping trip?
Is there one with a picture of a tent on it?
Let's see. What did the nurse tell us last week in school?
She said if a snake bites you, don't suck out the poison?
No, before that.
She said that we should only buy food that has a very short list of ingredients on the package. She said don't buy cereal that's loaded with sugar.
Okay, we know that ingredients are listed in order. The first item that's in here is the most. So here's a cool box. Let's see, first item, sugar.
This one too, sugar right at the top.
And this one. And this one. She said watch out for words like evaporated cane juice or corn syrup or even natural sweetener. They're just different words for sugar.
Hey, this one says that sugar is number 3.
Nope.
Why?
Read what comes next.
There are a bunch of words I can't pronounce.
The nurse said that if we can't pronounce it, our stomachs probably can't digest it. Try again.
Okay, here's a cereal that has just one thing in the ingredients list. 100% whole wheat.
That's all?
That's all.
Then that's it. Dump a little honey, fresh fruit, and soy milk on there, and we're eating healthy.
You sound like a commercial.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
And girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 1. Mysterious Stranger. Sammy Tan discovered two things while standing on his head in the art gallery. First, that blood rushes to your head and it starts to hurt after a while. And second, that strange-looking art still looks strange upside down. Gradually, Sammy's body slid down from the wall he was leaning against. The world slowly turned right side up again. Sammy frowned and sat up, looking at the painting across the room. It still looked weird. Splotches of blue, green, and yellow covered wiggly black lines that ran from side to side. "What are you doing, Sammy?" Sammy looked up from the floor to see Jenny Wallace walking toward him. "Looking at sunspots," he answered. "Sunspots? Where?" she asked. Sammy pointed toward the painting on the other wall as Jenny sat down on the floor next to Sammy. "I can't figure out why it's called sunspots," Sammy said. Jenny looked at the painting silently. Then she said, "Well, have you ever looked at sunspots before? How do you know what they look like?" "I've looked at an eclipse through special glasses," Sammy said. "I didn't see anything that was green or blue like that." "Well, artists have a lot of imagination," Jenny explained, trying to defend the painting. Sammy laughed and looked at the colorful splotches. They must have to call something like that sunspots. "What are you doing here?" Jenny asked him again. Sammy jumped up and walked over to a bronze sculpture of a woman with a hole in her stomach. He reached his arm through the sculpture and shook hands with himself. "Right now I'm waiting for my grandfather," Sammy said. "He's taking a tour with some people in the other room. I'm supposed to wait for him here. We're going to see them open a new exhibit of some famous painter in the South Wing, Shepley Matthews or something." Sammy stood on his tiptoes and tried to put his head through the hole in the statue's stomach. "I think that's Sheffield Matheson, the painter, that is." Jenny frowned at Sammy, who twisted his head as if it were stuck in the hole. "I don't think we're supposed to do that." "Why else would they put a hole in her stomach?" Sammy asked. He sighed and pulled his head out of the hole. "What about you? Why are you here, Jenny Wallflower?" "Don't call me that, Sam Mule," she emphasized the last part of his name. "My name is Wallace, and to answer your question, my mom is in charge of raising money for the new children's wing they're going to build here for the museum. She's in a meeting right now." "Whoa, wait a minute," he said. "I know about bird wings. What's a children's wing?" Jenny looked at him through the hole in the statue's stomach. "It's a neat place in a museum where they let you learn all about art and feel things and climb all over them." She looked at Sammy, who now had both of his arms in the statue's hole and was trying to climb inside it. "Not that that's ever stopped you." "Ahem." Sammy and Jenny heard someone clear his throat. Sammy climbed out of the hole quickly. "Sorry, Grandfather," Sammy said, suddenly embarrassed. Jenny backed away, giggling. "Sammy, art is for enjoying with the eyes, not with the hands, feet, and elbows," Grandfather Tan said, wagging his finger in front of Sammy's face. Sammy didn't have a chance to respond. A crowd of people followed Mr. Tan into the room, and Sammy realized that they were all headed to the south wing to see the exhibit opening. Sammy looked at all the faces and saw Mrs. Wallace coming toward them. Sammy thought he saw someone else he recognized, but the person disappeared behind a group of others. "Sammy, Mr. Tan," Mrs. Wallace exclaimed. "It's good to see you." "Hi, Mrs. Wallace," Sammy said. "Jenny told me that you were in charge of raising money for the new children's wing here." Mrs. Wallace smiled at Sammy, then looked at Mr. Tan. "That's right, Sammy. It's going to be a great place for kids to visit. And all kids, ages 12 and under, will get to come free any time they want to." "All right," Sammy said, suddenly excited. "How much money do you have to raise?" Mr. Tan asked. Mrs. Wallace grew serious. $75,000. "Wow," Sammy said. "I can't even imagine that much money. I don't know anybody that has that much money." Mrs. Wallace crouched down in front of Sammy. "You're right, it's a lot of money, but it's for a good cause, and if each of us do our part to raise it, I really think Mill Valley can afford to build this new wing." Mrs. Wallace squinted at Sammy and Jenny. "Say, how would the Shoebox Kids like to be involved in doing a little fundraising?" Sammy and Jenny looked at each other. "How much do we get paid?" Sammy asked Jenny. Jenny frowned. "The idea is to raise money, not pay people like you. You're supposed to volunteer." "Why don't we get the group together at our house this weekend?" Mrs. Wallace asked. "We can discuss the possibilities, have some snacks, maybe play a few games." "Yeah, a regular party," Jenny said. "Well, okay," Sammy said finally. Grandfather Tan, Sammy, Jenny, and Mrs. Wallace heard a shout and then applause. They looked up to see a man in a suit cut a ribbon and then gesture for people to enter the doorway to the south wing. Sammy and the others joined the crowd and filed into a long room. Mounted on the walls on both sides were large paintings of children. "I can't see," Jenny whispered. She stood on her tiptoes trying to look through the crowd. Sammy looked around, then tugged on her sleeve. "Come on." Sammy led Jenny to a concrete bench standing right in the center of the room. They climbed onto the bench and stood up. "Much better," Jenny said. "Wow, there must be 100 people in here." They looked around the room at the crowd. A man up front was talking about the paintings. "This is truly a historic occasion," the man said. "As director of the Mill Valley Art Museum, it is an honor for me to introduce this display of fine art to our city. But it is historic because this is the first time that all of Sheffield Matheson's works have been displayed at one place. It took a long time for me to arrange for this exhibit, but the fact that Sheffield Matheson was born, lived, and died here in Mill Valley made a big difference, and the effort was well worth it." Sammy looked around him at the paintings. All the pictures showed children. Sammy was fascinated by how the artist showed them. One showed three boys in a snowball fight. Another showed girls painting a fence. One showed two girls swinging on a tire swing while boys in the tree above them yelled at them. Sammy could almost hear them talking. Then Sammy noticed that something was wrong. "Excuse me," he said out loud. "Mr. Director, I have a question."
"Sammy, don't interrupt," Grandfather Tan said quietly.
"No, it's all right," the director said. "What is it, son?" Sammy pointed at the wall in front of him. "There are six paintings on that wall." He moved his hand to point at the opposite side. "And only five on that wall. How come?"
Jenny poked him in the ribs. "Because there's only 11 paintings, silly," she said.
"No, that's not quite right," the director said. "This set of paintings is called the Broken Dozen." He pointed at the far corner. "Sheffield Matheson wanted to paint children in each month of the year, but you'll notice that we have left a space between numbers 10 and 12 over there. That's because number 11 disappeared in the fire that caused Mr. Matheson's death in 1964. It was actually just a few blocks from here."
"Well, didn't the painting just burn up in the fire?" someone else asked.
"Some think so, but the police who examined the fire say no. They said it would have left traces of the special fabric he painted on, and Sheffield Matheson was very careful to protect his paintings from fire." The director folded his hands over his chest. "It's just another unsolved mystery. In this case, it makes the work of Sheffield Matheson more interesting."
"Wow, a mystery." Sammy nudged Jenny. "Wouldn't it be great if we could find that missing painting?"
"Yes, it would be like the treasure map Chris found and the secret codes Willie got over his computer," Jenny answered. "Let's see if the director can give us any more clues."
Sammy listened to the director while he looked around the room. He had a strange sensation that someone was watching him. He scanned the paintings, then started looking around the room. A thin, gray-haired man on the far side of the room, dressed in an overcoat, turned and looked at Sammy. Sammy stared at him, thinking he should know him. Sammy smiled at the man and waved. The man didn't smile back.
"Who is that man, Jenny?" Sammy whispered. "I feel like I should know him."
Jenny looked past Sammy.
"What man?" Jenny whispered back.
"The gray-haired man in the raincoat," Sammy said.
"Right over."
Sammy turned and pointed. But the man was gone.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.